The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, here with my producer, Christine.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's always my favorite Sunday.
Great. You're my favorite producer.
Thank you. How are you, Ben? I heard there was something spectacular this week.
Yeah, the most important day of the year was last Wednesday. Yeah. So this is the Sunday after the most important day of the year. So anyway, I digress. We're broadcasting live here, Jefferson State of Mind, on KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. Here from downtown Reddy, lots going on, a whole lot going on. And this morning I want to do something a little bit different. The phone number here is area code 530-605-4567. Area code 530-605-4567. If you have something you want to call in about, that's great, because there sure is a lot. But I want to start out with the border. And the reason I want to start out with that is this morning I got an email from a group that's supporting Governor Abbott's position in Texas. And it was to sign if you agree or, you know, if you agree that he's doing the right thing and that he should be supported, et cetera. Well, I went to click on it. And it wouldn't let me into the site. So I went to another link. It wouldn't let me into the site. So apparently that's being blocked. And it's nothing that's really different of what's going on here, everything from statewide to local. On the last show, you heard about how there are buses coming into Shasta County, eyewitnesses to buses coming into Shasta County dropping off illegal aliens and Lord knows what else. But let's talk about the border just for a second, shall we? The thing I want to bring up about that is really and truly, you know, we've talked about how the jurisdiction of naturalization is that of the federal government. We delegated that power to them as the states to handle immigration and naturalization. So they really have that power. But that doesn't mean that they can usurp or not pay attention to the rest of the Constitution. Okay, for example, Article 1, Section 3, excuse me, Article 10, section, Article 1, Section 10. I don't know, maybe I didn't have enough coffee this morning. Section 3, no state shall without the consent of Congress lay any duty or tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power or engage in it and engage in war unless actually invaded. So, that word, unless, and also with that, actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit or delay. You can't delay on anything here. So they can actually engage in war. Now, I guess my question is, we have a neighbor in Mexico. Now, a neighbor in Mexico, and we have a governor in Texas that's saying, hey, you know, we believe we've been invaded, and according to Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution, we believe we've been invaded, and they have been. I mean, look at the drug trafficking, look at the sex trafficking, look at the arms that are coming through, the terrorists that are being allowed to come through the border, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the federal government's job to protect us there, and they're not doing it. So I think that word unless actually invaded, and they have been. So let's talk about Mexico. Now, Mexico is a neighbor, but is Mexico a partner? They're a neighbor, but are they a partner? Everything is flowing through Mexico, or quite a bit of it's flowing through Mexico when it talks about illegals, terrorists, etc., from all different countries, not just Mexico. When we look at this position, it's kind of like, does the governor have jurisdiction? Well, of course he does, because he feels like he's being invaded. He is being invaded, and there's imminent danger. There's no question about that. So with that, when you look at the United States government, does Texas even have the right to go to war with a country that's allowing this to happen? Or is Mexico doing everything they can to try to stop this stuff, and they're just overwhelmed? So then you go to Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Well, you know, here's the deal. There's a responsibility of the administration to protect the states. Now, I did hear the other day that we are now moving from the people that are crossing the border in Texas are now moving toward California. And, of course, we have the spawn of Satan as our governor, so you're not going to see anything there as far as any kind of stoppage or any kind of situation where you're going to have him protecting our borders. It's just not going to happen. So at what point do we take that into – what point do we take that into what happens to us locally? For example, the previous show that was on was discussing the fact that we had busloads come in. I mean, one of the hosts on that show was saying he had pictures of it, and he certainly does, of buses dropping off illegal immigrants. And there's lots of eyewitnesses to that, and that's actually happening. If that's happening in our county, what's law enforcement doing about it? Or do they care? Or do they have the manpower? Or even if they didn't have the manpower, there's a lot of other things we can talk about, especially some of the things that that the government is trying to do as far as stymieing any kind of help that the sheriff would get or that the state would get from the folks. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but I do see we have a caller on the line. Siskiyou Steve, what say you? Steve, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
here. What say you?
Yeah, I listened to YouTube yesterday about the border crisis down there in Texas. This guy was a great YouTube. He had about 6 hours of all the speakers down there. And I heard many times, do not comply. So your word is getting out there. The other thing I wanted to say real quick was Kevin Cry is a model citizen. These people down there are... I don't know what they're eating or what they're chewing on, but as far as I'm concerned, Kevin Cry is a model citizen. Just look at the history of what he's done for the kids and the communities of Redding. What they're saying down there in Texas, though, is show up. And the people are showing up. There was a lot of talk last week about, you know, not showing up because it's going to cause too much of a crisis, but the actual people down there, the speakers and stuff, are saying, you know, if America cares, it's time to show up. So I would just promote that in the future, between now and March, there could be a major, major march for everybody to stand up and take our county back and get ready. You know, tell your bosses this could happen, and if it happens, I have to go. And your boss has to go, too. We all have to stand up. It's time to stand up. Thank you for your show, Terry.
You bet, buddy. A lot of people that are down there on the border, I've watched some video of it, and it seems as if they have a stage, they have music. Most people are sitting in lounge chairs, you know, fold-up chairs. And it seems to be more of a... doesn't seem to be like an activist situation where our folks are lining up on the table anymore, or excuse me, on the border anymore. But yeah, there are people down there now, and there's speakers and all that good stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it's cool anytime you're wanting to get engaged in liberty. And again, not complying is one thing, but not submitting to slavery is the other thing. We have another call on the line. It looks like Brandon.
Oh, Brad.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm reading a blackboard here. You said Brett?
Brad, B-R-A-D.
B-R-A-D, okay. Okay, anyway, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to answer Nick's question about the millions wasted on the voting system change. He wanted to know how millions were wasted.
Well, that was Nick's show, and this is our show.
Well, that's Nick's
show. And so if you'd like, so you're saying that there are millions being spent?
Millions have been wasted so far.
Okay, well, there's probably been lots of millions wasted so far, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, at least for me, you know, these two new supervisors, Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom, I mean, before they got on the board, there wasn't a majority that was leaning to where a lot of people believe that's more to the right. There wasn't that majority there until they got on the board. So a lot of this stuff was done, Brad, 3 or 4 years ago, with the exception of getting rid of the machines. And a lot of this corruption's been happening. But thank you for your call. We're moving on here. Stones, what say you? Stones, are you there?
I'm here.
What say you, sir?
Well, I've got quite a few points today.
Okay.
I'll try to go as quick as I can.
Okay.
And I'll save the best for last. Oh, that would be the elections-related information. hey, a couple quick announcements, if I could.
Sure.
Sheepdog Safety Training, they do security training for religious facilities nationwide. They will be in Anderson, February 20th. It's a Tuesday, 6 p.m. at the VFW. Go to sheepdogsafetytraining.com for information and tickets. The local rifle pistol chapter is sponsoring. Next one, February 17th, Saturday, 11 a.m., Red Lion, Election Integrity California. They're going to host a group from somewhere else in the country. They're going to be here to detail the legal reasons why a jurisdiction may choose not to certify or declare an election. So that is very timely. That's going to be very informative.
Now, is that a statement that they're just making, or is that a statement that's been upheld in court? Go ahead.
They're going to reference federal election violations.
Okay.
I believe that is their focus, is the federal election violations.
Okay.
Again, they're from a different state, so they're not really going to know the California election laws. But it will apply. It will absolutely apply. So that's going to be very interesting. Next item here is, by the way, that should be a free event. I have not seen where there's any cost involved there.
Okay.
The next thing I'm seeing, the GOP, they have something online, and it's even a website, bankyourvote.com. Bankyourvote.com. They're trying to get, listen to this, Terry. They're trying to get Republican voters to vote early and use mail-in voting. Oh, my gosh. That is the worst thing you can do.
Now, you're saying the Republicans are doing that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bankyourvote.com. It's
the GOP,
the truth.
Mm-hmm.
At the national level,
mm-hmm.
are trying to get people to use mail-in voting and mm-hmm. vote early. That is the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the uniparty. This is the GOP fraud uniparty in mm-hmm. conjunction with the Democrats. So this is gaslighting. Absolutely do not do that. Get your ballot you receive in the mail and take it on election day and vote that very ballot either at your precinct or at the elections office.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you reduce the fraud. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the GOP is trying to gaslight us.
Well, I got a question on the EIP. I got a text from Linda Payne last night about February 5th. I want you to explain to the folks where discovery comes into a court case. Where does discovery come in? Where does that fit in the scheme of things as far as moving the court case forward? Go ahead.
Well, as soon as the preliminary court date is heard and a judge is convinced that there's enough facts and data and preponderance or probable cause, then the judge sets it for a normal hearing. And at that point, either side or both sides, they better start getting their evidence in order, because the opposite side is going to be asking for their evidence. So, and that's where the discovery begins. So.
Okay, that's a great answer, buddy. The reason I bring that up is that when she texted me, I mean, after all these years, all this time, since 2014, fighting this stuff, the court case is now, if things work out in appeals, it's going to go to discovery. And I guess I'm a little fed up with the whole court situation. We keep going to court, we spend millions of dollars, nothing happens. The other question I've got about EIP is that there's EIP of California and then there's election integrity. And you're talking about, but EIP of California, I believe, is who you're talking about as far as that federal case, because I think that's what she texted me.
Yeah, same. Yeah, election EIPCA, Election Integrity Project of California.
Gotcha. That's what I thought. Go ahead, buddy.
Yes, yeah, same. More or less the same, folks.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Okay.
Another thing, there's lies about the governor appointing county boards of supervisors. So,
okay.
And this is on Kevin Cry's Facebook page. Okay. His Kevin Cry.
Okay.
And there's links, so you can go and read the stories yourself. So okay. Ventura, San Benito, Lake County, and Yolo.
Okay.
They have all either already the governor has appointed a supervisor, or there might be one of them that's pending. But there is history there. So that's a total lie by the recall Kevin Cry
folks.
One of the many lies.
That seems to be going around.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, I think it's in their coffee. I think it's in their water. Anyway. And then another lie that was going around yesterday is that, you know, Kevin Cry is violating conflict of interest, and
yes.
He absolutely is not. Government Code 1090, it's very clear. Kevin Cry, in his official capacity as a board member, if he votes, which then turns into some kind of financial gain, that's a conflict of interest. But Kevin Cry having a private personal business on the side, as long as he does not vote as a supervisor, which would then benefit his private business.
Yeah, you know, and you're
done.
Right. Yeah, I know.
He's not going to do that. My God.
I know.
He's not going to do that. It's an obvious, it will jeopardize his seat and his place at the board. So he's not going to do that. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is that when you talk about the board meeting and some of the things that have been going on, you know, I don't like my name mentioned if I made a comment. And really, I don't think it's in the purview of anybody to mention somebody else's name that just came up and said something. Or basically to make accusations in front of the board in public. Frankly, that's a violation of Title 18, 241, if a citizen does that, because what they're doing is violating your right of free speech. I think the supervisors have to look at that, and also the distraction of what they're doing with these signs, standing behind the speakers. I think that there has to be some action there. I don't know why they haven't done that yet, but I think there should be. But I think that, you know, if you're going to go in there, and you're speaking in public comment, that doesn't give you the right to put down just a citizen, saying, well, you know, you said this or you're saying that, and that influences people, and that does this and that. That's a violation of federal law, in my opinion, because I wouldn't do that or mention somebody's name there. I may say the previous speaker said this. I don't agree with what the previous speaker said, but I don't make accusations on them. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to stop in that room, one of the many things.
Well, that's a fine line, though, Terry.
How is that?
The current policy everybody's trying to use right now, that was amended during the Modi regime. And the reason the Modi amended that behavioral policy, decorum policy in the chambers, do you remember the Wall of Truth in 2021?
Yeah, I do.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, everybody, by the way, for the Wall of Truth. So what happened
you?
When Modi did – yeah, that was. So the problem is that policy has a lot of First Amendment violations in it.
Oh, man.
It says you may not use loud language, profane
language, right.
Language,
you
et cetera.
Sure can.
That is absolutely
right.
A First Amendment violation.
That's
so
right. I agree.
I have a problem with that policy as it stands, and it needs to be changed. But – I get what you're saying, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. If somebody stands up there at the podium and says, you know, so-and-so is saying this and that influences people and he shouldn't be saying that, well, you know, that's a violation. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about exposing things that may be public knowledge or things like that. But, you know, if you stand up there, for example, and you're speaking and you're mentioning some things about, you know, about things you know, about how the law works, the things you've either investigated in the past or things that you're bringing to light on your exploration of that particular issue, that's completely different than coming at, than, and then somebody stands up there and says, well, you know, this guy shouldn't be saying that stuff. His, by name, they say your name, shouldn't be doing this, and he shouldn't be saying this. He doesn't have the right to do this. That is a violation. I mean, I don't care how you look at it. And so to me, I think that people just have to stop that. You know, if you want to talk about what the previous speaker just said, talk about what the previous speaker just said. Hey, the previous speaker said this, this, and this. I don't agree with that. My opinion is I don't agree with that. That's different than saying that that guy didn't have the right to say it. He shouldn't be out here talking because of the fact that people listen to him. And that's what I think. And I and that's what I'm saying. And so I'm a little tired of all these people who have got who are going after other people on certain things in the law. Well, that's breaking the law. And, you know, again, why don't we just be a little more civil and try to get our point across at these meetings? Anyway, that's my
Just keep it under the purview of the jurisdiction of the board. You can talk about rainbows and fairies and unicorns if you want. Just keep it under the jurisdiction of the board.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, I've got Lori on the other line. If you have anything else, can you be kind of quick?
I can get this in before the break for sure.
Sure, go for it. Hang on, Lori.
I've been putting this out. This is important. The elections office has been involved in fraud. They are fraudulently processing illegal ballots. When they knowingly use a dirty voter roll to then send out ballots, those are illegal ballots for people that are dead, people that have moved out of the county or the state, all the other different things, vacant lots. Those are illegal ballots. And when those ballots come back and they're then tabulated, that is strike number two. Now they're fraudulently, knowingly, intentionally counting what they know are illegal ballots. That is fraud. It is the duty of our registrar's office to clean those voter rolls before they hit the print button to send out the ballots. It is their duty. That is what they should be doing. The 30, 60 days prior to any ballots going out, they should be cleaning those voter rolls. They should be issuing a report to the County Board of Supervisors that they've cleaned the voter rolls to the best of their ability before they hit print. And they are fraudulently processing these illegal ballots.
Okay, you're using...
That is a felony.
Right, you're using the word they. Does that mean that the average rank and file person in there is subject to this felony? As
soon as each employee
okay.
from the top down is okay. made aware that they are knowingly processing illegal ballots based off a dirty voter roll,
okay.
and they know they're dirty, Terry. They know. We have the proof already. We already have the declarations and the canvassing.
Okay.
And once they know it and they continue to do it, now, yes.
Okay, where do we go to get justice? Where do we go to get justice? The sheriff, where do we go to get justice?
Obviously, the sheriff's processing a very similar complaint right now. I don't know what's going to happen with it.
Okay.
The district attorney, I highly doubt our DA is going to prosecute this because that's just my opinion.
Okay.
And one last thing before the break.
Sure.
Kathy Allen's retirement. Remember, there's nothing darling about her. I don't use her middle name. She announces her retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried about this because I believe she announces her retirement before the ballots are just going to be hitting the mailboxes.
Okay.
She announces her retirement. She knows that her replacement is going to hinge on the makeup of the Board of Supervisors after March.
Okay.
She knows this. And I believe this is a middle finger to us from Kathy Allen saying, we already know what the March elections, the results are going to be. And I'm comfortable announcing my retirement now because I'm pretty sure the board makeup will be establishment rhinos. And so you see my point here? This is a political ploy. This is political timing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I appreciate the time today, Terry.
All right, pal. Well, have a great day. And excuse me, Lori, we'll get to you right after the break because time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Found family ties run deep in this land. And I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodland, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home.
Of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Laugh until your sides ache as the hilarious comedian Ginger Billy takes the stage at Wind River Resort and Casino on Friday, February 9th. With over 11 million followers on YouTube, Ginger Billy has taken the internet by storm with his side-splitting humor and down-to-earth charm. Don't miss this hysterical night of comedy. His relatable humor will have you rolling in the aisles. Tickets for this night of laughter start at just $35 plus fees. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
If I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't think it very good. So I fiddle when I can and I work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got the old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo! Yeah. John Denver. He was a country boy. Thank you, Sally Lou. Yeehaw. Talking about yeehaw, we have Lori on the line. Lori, what say you?
I have cakes on the griddle. I love that song. Anyways, good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Hey, I'll do a quick overview, kind of check in. It was a busy week we had. I think all the burners are on for today's show. Shout out to Wynn. He did a great job the other night.
Great.
On the panel. As people know, February is called designated Black History Month. And there's a term I'm aware of called Black Lives MAGA, M-A-G-A. And this is a pro-Republican. Lots of people are leaving the Democratic Party, and they call it voters of color. I watched a video 6 minutes long, and this is a carryover of the Blexit, Candace Owens, and Officer Brandon Tatum. All Lives MAGA is part of the subgrouping of that. So my understanding is our local Dr. Martin Luther King Center needs to have an update of the name, not just MLK, but absolutely start designating when people have earned their doctorate. So as we know, Black Lives Matter pretty much crashed and burned. I heard, $60 million fraud, stolen, three black lesbians had bought a bunch of mansions, and they have residences in Caucasian white rich areas. So anyway, to the individual that keeps espousing Black Lives Matter, I just want to put that in. Black History Month. I hope we have some good offerings here in our county. The second point, the League of Women Voters, all nine candidates showed up on Wednesday night, the 31st. We had a pretty good moderator, that's Susan Wilson. I know she gave a hyphenated name, but I didn't see it in writing, print, or anywhere, so pardon me if I don't know her full hyphenated name. The burning question for all of us was, the Pledge of Allegiance is not done by this group, the entire group. It's not just a local thing. So I was aware that Dr. Laura Hobbs and Wynn Carpenter were going to use their time to offer up the Pledge of Allegiance. And thank you, Deidre. She has a traveling flag. Meanwhile, I understand Richard Gallardo brought the flag out of the closet and held it up while the pledge was being conducted. So I felt compelled to ask at the very end to ask moderator Susan Wilson, because she's with the SCAR group, Shasta County Advocating Respect, what she thought of that personally as her own self. And she seemed to deflect, avoid. She didn't want to answer it. She didn't seem to care, or it wasn't important. So I just want folks to know that I find that disturbing, because it's a slap in the face to our veterans. Many were in attendance, and when you skip something like that, which does not take very much time, I find it appalling. So I'm hoping next time Susan Wilson is on the monthly appearance at the Free Fire Radio, that she could find it to address her stance on that. The other thing was Susan Barrymore at that panel. There was, I think, six or seven questions asked to everyone, and one of the final questions was, who's your hero or heroine? It sounds like Susan Barrymore is saying a few words, and then she goes, well, I got nothing, and then sat down. So if you folks want to keep pursuing, attend if you can, Monday, tomorrow, the what's it called, the Advisory Commission. It's a five-panel led by Chair Ronine Lund. It's at 2 p.m. That's their final, my understanding, of the current start time. I will be there tomorrow.
Where's it at, Lori?
At the chambers, the usual place where the Board of Supervisors okay. meets, over there on Court Street.
Okay.
And, you know, there's time for public comment on whatever the agenda is, which I still have to go look up. ROV Allen, apparently, according to Rickert, the supervisor, Mary Rickert, took a selfie with herself, Tim Garman, supervisor, and ROV Allen. And she mentioned this at the Tuesday night meeting, I believe it was. So where is ROV Allen working from home? Does she go to which office, the Market Street one, the Court Street one? I'm just concerned, because we've all been asking, where is she, where is she? And as the previous caller, Richard, mentioned, it's like there's some strategy going on here, timing, of course. And if you ever want to, I don't think we can go to board meetings for SCAR. They have a thing called Not in Our Town. It's a national thing. I'll put it in the chat room. They meet second Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. I'm just got a lot more questions about that. My final point, the teen center on Churn Creek near Hartnell, I don't know who the new director will be, because the current person that had been doing that, Michael Burke, is no longer there. Apparently it terminated. I don't know if they'll appoint an interim director, but that's part of the Pathways to Hope, the teen center, and that's through hopeshasta.org. I will put that in the chat room as well. My closing point, Terry, is for folks that are collecting or saving or have those $2 bills, take a look, because some of the older ones are worth, you know, like $4,000, $5,000. If you look at the serial
really?
Number on the left, serial number on the right, I don't know how.
How do you find that out?
I looked it up on the Internet. Just go look up $2 bill value. And I've got a stash. Mine are all pretty new, so I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of value. From 1917, way back to, I think, 1862. But take a look, folks. You might have some money to get you through this Biden administration. Awesome times that we're having. Sure, right. What a farce. And so here's my last quote. Keep voting left, and you'll have nothing left. There you go. Thanks for taking my call, Terry. Anything else?
Thank you, Lori. Always
right,
a pleasure.
I'll be in the chat room with some of the websites. Thanks, Terry. Have a good one.
You bet. Thank
all
you.
Right, bye.
You know, it's you know, we keep talking about a lot of issues, and like Richard and I were just talking about the previous caller before Lori, you know, where do we get justice? Okay, there's all these things that apparently have been proven. They've been proven, and I have heard from Jovan Pulitzer that when you use the word fraud on something, that jumps right into federal law. That jumps right into the Fed's wheelhouse, their jurisdiction. Anyway, that's what he had stated. So I'm wondering, where do you go get justice? You know, we have a situation where we have dirty roles, according to a lot of people. you know, and my opinion is I think we have dirty roles. We have a lot of issues as Richard was talking about, where there's things that are knowingly being done, and apparently there is proof that some people believe they have, that this is being done in the ROV office, and the sheriff has it, but they're not doing anything, and nobody thinks the DA will prosecute. I can remember back not too long ago that Carlos Zapata got in trouble for spilling water. You know, that cost us a lot of money, and I don't know how many DAs were on that case. What the hell's going on? What in the hell's going on? Where do we get justice? I mean, that's the crazy part about this. Mark Baird, where do we get justice?
Well, certainly not from the court.
That's for sure.
What you're asking. I mean, judges steal your liberty every day, and they're continuing to do it, and they'll keep doing it until the system changes and you can hold a judge accountable for doing unconstitutional, unlawful things, lying in court, obstructing justice, acting as the state's advocate instead of a neutral advocate, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. You know, and all this stuff that's going on with the border, and the previous show, I don't know if you heard it or not, but the previous show brought up some really good points about people being photographed. That it's a fact that we are having illegals dropped off sometimes in the middle of the night here in Shasta County, specifically in Redding, California, and it's happening. Yet we can't get anybody really to do anything. As you know, we just talked about as far as what Richard's points were, that they have things that are proven, and I have heard that, and I do believe that someone had told me that a sheriff deputy was working on the case. But the whole point is that if you can't get justice, what's left? Oh, maybe it's breaking up the state. That's one thing.
Well, that's true. I mean, look, the assault on the average citizen in the state of California is no secret unless you're blind. We have a monoparty. It's run by the state employees union. They get all their money from them. It's actually quite a scam. Your taxpayer dollars go into CalPERS, and the state employees unions use that money to contribute to Democratic campaigns, and then they elect that money elects Democrats, and then the cycle perpetuates itself. The stupidest things in the world are coming out of the mono party in Sacramento, and they all vote for one another because they don't want their stupid thing to be voted down when it comes up for a vote. And I mean idiotic things like bringing children, kidnapping children and bringing them to California so they can get sex changes, and the assault on parents and school boards, and you know all this stuff. The governor spends $30 billion a year on illegal aliens and $2 billion on veterans. So just, you know, the usual stuff. In my county, they just ripped out four perfectly good, fully functional hydroelectric dams supplying the cleanest, cheapest, greenest power on earth to over 70,000 homes, and those dams are now gone. And the Klamath River is a mud flow. It's killed every fish in the river. And in May, Secretary Salazar said a few years ago, We may have to wait 50 years to see if this experiment works.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens to the people in that ensuing 50 mm-hmm. years? Well, they go away because their wells go dry, their property is worthless, there's no recreation anymore on those lakes, there's no water rights derived from those lakes, there's no flood control, no water for fire protection, the river is dead or dying, and why would you stay? So this is a plan. They're good at it. They're winning. And the only defense we have is breaking up this state and regaining a strong Second Amendment so that future governments will be afraid to attack their own citizens. Because I'll tell you right now, the California government, they're not afraid of you. They don't care what you think, what you want, what you say, or what you do. They have your money. It's captured through your taxes, and as far as they're concerned, if you die tomorrow, it wouldn't make any difference to them. You're being replaced with illegal aliens anyway, who will vote the way they're told to vote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing is that we just, you know, Dr. Frank said something to me, it really made a lot of sense. We were talking about different things, but, you know, when you look at the 10th Amendment, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, to the states, are reserved to the states and respectively or to the people. Now, when you read that and understand who we the people are, and I know you've been teaching this for years, the power is not delegated. You can't delegate something to someone if you're a lower power or an equal power. Delegation means the temporary trust of a thing that you have ownership over. And then it says that everything else is reserved to the states, which means we have ownership. But we don't act like it. The people don't act like it. And, again, I mean, you're so correct about a state split. There's no, because if we had new states, those new states would enact this and use their power as states to have the jurisdiction to stand between, to interpose, and then to nullify bad law. I mean, it's like we have a sheriff in our county that says, I'm going to follow the law. Well, the main law is what? What you took an oath to, the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of California. But you're going to uphold a law that is basically illegal. And I know that you've been go ahead.
There are guys that are getting 10 years in jail right now on federal charges for praying in front of an abortion clinic.
Right.
If you think nothing is beneath them, you're crazy. There's nothing that's beneath them. And here's what we have to do. We have to declare that the government of California is acting in sedition to its own constitution, the United States Constitution. If for nothing else, they're in violation of Title 8, 1324, 1327, 1328,
yeah.
Harboring and shielding
illegal aliens,
certain types of aliens,
yeah.
And encouraging criminal aliens to enter the United States and then shielding them once they're here, and encouraging sex trafficking of minor children coming across the border either unaccompanied or accompanied by people who aren't their parents. The governor supports that. It's a sanctuary state, so the legislature supports it. That makes them all federal criminals. In addition to that, they're in violation of, I forget what title it is, of distributing pornographic material
to
minors in the school system. Look, folks, if that's where you want your tax dollars to go, you're in the right spot. But if it's not, we need to declare, each county needs to declare this government in sedition, and we need to get a ballot referendum, because that's the quickest way to split this state. The federal courts denied us justice for 5.5 years and almost $1 million, and a federal judge blocked our lawsuit unconstitutionally. So court is not the way. We're going to have to go with the ballot initiative, and we can force the breakup of this criminal state and form states that actually serve the people that live in them.
Well, let me ask you about the...
If you would like to live in one of the communist states, you're free to move to it.
Okay,
but,
Well, the question I have is that, the ballot initiative is all fine and dandy, but then the courts come in and overrule it. I mean, we had, did say whether you believe this or not.
Look at what Texas did when the courts overruled them. People stood up and said no.
Well, that's the whole point. That's what my point was, we have to start acting like we the people, and we don't. And you put it perfectly. Well, I mean, we kept on hearing, do not comply, I shall not comply, and you put it perfectly. You coined the phrase of, no, we will not submit. You don't submit to tyranny. You don't submit to slavery. And that's what we're doing. So, to me, I don't think an initiative does any good at all. I don't think that, and as far as a referendum goes, I mean, the legislative body would still have a hand in that. They still could.
I'm talking about a ballot initiative, and the reason for that is not that I trust the process.
Right.
Believe me, I know better than that at my age.
Okay.
But the point is, you have to have some legal issue to rally around. In other words, if you just say to people, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're all going to rise up. We'll meet in the Walmart parking lot. You'd be standing there alone or with two or three of your best friends. We need some legal point that involves the interposition of lesser magistrates to rally around so that people actually see and have a cogent view of the path forward and a legal springboard from which to carry this movement ahead.
Okay. Okay.
And that would be something that we do lawfully, that we are then denied by the government. And at that point, you can see that self-help is the only way to continue.
Okay.
But to just announce that, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. So all this stuff going on at the border, I know they're trying to now pass a new law It is, in fact, I can give you a few points, but then I want your take on it. Have you heard of HB 6981?
I haven't heard of that yet.
Okay, it just came out January 11th. It is called the Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024. You can't make this stuff up. Publicly patrol, drill, or engage. This is all against the law. Publicly patrol, drill, or engage in techniques capable of causing bodily harm or death. 2, interfere with, interrupt, or attempt to interfere with or interrupt government operations or a government proceeding. Interfere with or intimidate another person in that person's exercise of any rights under the Constitution of the United States, that's already on the books, 241 in this case. 4, assume the functions of a law enforcement officer, peace officer, or a public official, whether or not acting under the color of law, and thereby assert authority or purport to assert authority over another person without the consent of that person, or train to engage in any activity described above. And so those are some points on this new particular bill, HB 6981, that they want to put in there and change. And
well, here comes your Irish democracy.
There you go.
Where the government says, okay, well, everyone in the state is now a criminal, and all we have to do is decide, in other words, show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
Right.
And that eliminates neighborhood watch. That eliminates any parental, that eliminates crossing guards at the elementary school. That eliminates any sheriff's auxiliary group that exists in the state. And there are many, many that do a lot of good work. That eliminates search and rescue operations for all the sheriff's departments, because at some point in time, they have to assume control over other individuals or guide and direct other people, whether they're in favor of that guidance and direction or not. That eliminates road control at wildfires, because you won't be able to tell anybody, don't go in there. That eliminates looking for looters when your community's been burned to the ground. That eliminates all that stuff. And it also eliminates the constitutionally authorized organization in the California State Militia, so that alters the California Constitution without the consent of the governed, and that eliminates Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution, and Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, and that makes California a dictatorship where the government can go get anybody for anything they want, anytime they want. And people voted for that here. The monoparty voted for that. The state employees unions want that. So that just reinforces what we've been saying. This government is engaged in sedition. The monoparty is engaged in that sedition with them in order to maintain control over the average citizen, county governments, sheriff's departments, and you name it, school boards, anything else they want to maintain control over. And unless we stop them, there is a logical progression of events that leads to tyranny, and I say we're already there.
Yeah, I agree. Now, this is federal, by the way. The other thing, the exemptions they give is the U.S. Armed Forces, the National Guard, the Naval Militia. Didn't know we had a Naval Militia. Regularly organized state militia, any unorganized or reserve militia called into service by a state or the United States
of
America.
How can you train and be a militia,
right,
before you're called into service if it's against the law to do those things? That goes along with the Second Amendment stuff. They outlaw so many things, and they're trying to ban everything. They
right.
ban the ordinary outdoor activities and the ordinary efforts of people to defend themselves, when the government won't assume any responsibility to defend you. So if I could get in a shameless plug.
Please, go ahead.
On March 2nd at 4 o'clock in Yreka, California, at the Yreka High School gym, we're having a fundraiser dinner, and we're trying to raise money to vindicate Second Amendment rights and force California to become a constitutional carry state as we were for most of the history of California up until 1968. We're trying to restore open carry in California with no government permission so that government will once again have respect for the people that they pretend to govern. And if you want tickets for that, you can call my cell number. Can I give out the number?
Oh, yeah, of course.
530-227-6729. That's 530-227-6729. And if you just want to make a contribution, you can make it to Pecan. I don't remember the address. I'll have to look at my phone to get it. But if you know it, Terry, give it out on the air. Otherwise, if you want to make a contribution and you can't come, just call my cell. I'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah, I think that, I don't have the exact address with me right here off the top of my head. But, and when you do make that check out to Pecan, by the way, you want to put in the memo portion 2A. 2A in the memo portion.
I've got the address.
Oh, great. Shoot away.
14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. 100% goes to my court case. We're about to go in front of the Ninth Circuit Court. We think we have the same judge panel that gave us a unanimous decision against the federal court before. We can win this, but I can't do it alone. I need your help. 14421, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stand by. 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California. Put Pecan on the check.
What's the zip code, Mark?
It's 96003.
Great. You know, and again, make the check out to Pecan and make sure in the memo you put 2A. 2A in the memo. Now, in the fundraiser, what are the times of the fundraiser? What is the cost of a table or an individual wanting to go? Go ahead.
Individual tickets are $50. Couples are $80. A table for eight is $9.50, and you get a bunch of prizes and raffle tickets with a table. We've got tons of guns that we're raffling off. It's going to be a fun night. Please go, and if you can't go, contribute something. $5, $2. Doors open at 4, dinner at 5. And, by the way, the dinner is prime rib. It's not dry chicken or tri-tip. This is a prime rib, no-kidding dinner with a no-host bar. So come if you can. If you can't, please help me. We're coming to the important part of this case, and I can win, but I won't win if I can't pay the lawyer.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the thing, isn't it? You know,
yep.
It's, you know, when you stop and think about what Mark Beard's having you do here, I mean, we're actually in court for a constitutionally protected right. You know, I mean, it's just insane to me. Just like, you know, the parents are now fighting against parental rights. What the hell does that even mean? Parental rights? You have to have rights to be a parent? Now, how far do we want this to get out of hand? That's the thing, folks. And that really is going to be up to us, where we stand. You know, and I'm not advocating it, but, I mean, sure getting close to the idea of maybe self-help, whatever way you want to take that. Because I sure don't see a lot of ways to go after this. Mark's correct. Let's try an initiative. Let's try an initiative for a referendum on some of these horrible laws. Let's do that. Let's go down that road. But we've got to stand together. And I think that the main thing right now is we have a lot of division in different things people need to get done. We need to protect the Second Amendment. We need to win back our counties. And we need to split this state. And I still have never heard an argument, ever heard an argument of not splitting the state or something that was better. Never heard that. Ever.
No, I mean, it's the only way our lives will improve is to get away from those idiots and kooks and liars and crooks in Sacramento. That's the only way we can fix this, because otherwise they're not going to allow it.
Well, my friend, we've got about 50 seconds left to go. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks to you for what you're doing out there. Support Mark Beard in his case. If you can go to his fundraiser, if you can contribute any way you can do that, help this patriot out, because he's trying to help all of us. And you know, Mark, we've been saying it now for 10 years. Time has come
for 51.
Let's get it done, brother. Have a great day, everybody.
ACA. Come out and play. Have you?
DNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.